You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? So on that note, we want to have a little testimony time. Now, let's be clear. We're looking for a testimony of what God has done in your personal life. Okay? Thank you for that, Steve. So welcome to Eckers this morning. Yeah, come on. Ashley Graham. I know you were. That's why I just wanted to clarify. Come on up here.
Good morning, family. We're Fred and Rosalia Earhart, and I asked Pastor Chris if we could jump in. Oh, heck, I know what theirs is going to go. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Well, I know, so you hold those. All right, you hold. Oh, forget it. Just put it in the middle. I asked if we could do a testimony about God's extravagance, generosity through his obedient children. And it's so prophetic. It's so cool you forgot last week. And don't ever expect me to say that again. Right? Right?
I'm going to sit down.
We were supposed to do this last week, but I actually got a Facebook reminder saying it's definitely prophetic because this weekend is the 7th anniversary of the auction. 7 years ago, our son, Frederick Eric Earhart III, our only son, blew an appendix. We thought he had the flu. He kept that inside of him for 8 days. So, yeah, that's what we said. So, cut to the chase. And where's Mr. Paul? Oh, I have to drag them out, make them cry. Anyways, he's part of the story, so I'm glad he's here. But Fred took little Fred to Dr. Paul, and he said, this is an appendix. This is bad. Dr. Brownlee operates on him and couldn't even find where the appendix was supposed to be. Left two big open drains in him. We were in hospital for 13 days. So before that occurred, this occurred.
Yeah, the only time I ever got a deer tag since I've been in Elko. And we went out hunting. We were north of Winnemucca. And my son has an incredible talent for spotting deer. He just has a great eye. And when we got there, though, and he's excited. When it comes to going outside, outdoors, he gets excited, man. He's all revved up. But he's been sick with this thing, like Rosalia said. We thought he had the flu. In fact, there was someone in the church where we were pastoring at the time who had gotten the flu and threw up so violently she had cracked a couple of ribs. So I thought that this was going on with our son because he was also throwing up. And so we get out there to go track down some deer, and he doesn't want to get out of the truck. He's in so much pain. And as Rosalie said, it had been about 8 days. So I realized at that moment something's up. I told him, listen, son, come Monday. This was on a Friday. If this is still with you, we're going to go see Dr. Herman. And sure enough, we took him to see Dr. Herman, and he checked him out and said, listen, I can't rule out appendicitis. Let's get him in and get a CAT scan. Well, we had no health benefits. We still don't. I don't know if that means anything, but
it did to me.
Yeah. But anyways, that the money starts ringing up now at this point, right? CAT scans aren't cheap. But anyways, Dr. Brownlee, came out to see us and told us what was going on. He said it was, like as Rosalia said, it was unrecognizable in there. He couldn't even find an appendix. So, surgery. And through the process of time, as Rosalia said, he was in there for, 13 days, you said? He had to go for a second procedure because they found another infection. And this one, they went in, they pierced this side, I guess. They go in, and I couldn't sit in there. When it comes to this kind of stuff, I mean, I used to pass out when I got a shot, you know. Yeah. So, anyways, I sat in the room. My son-in-law went out there to be with Fred. He asked if he would, and watched from inside. And then I could go out and pace up and down the floors and pray as I would start to get sick. That after that procedure, we wheel him back in the room, which was very, very painful for him. I just had this moment that, and I thought I was going to lose my son. Because Dr. Brownlee even said, All we can do is put them in God's hands. At this point, it was that bad. I mean, Paul Herman can tell you better than I that when that kind of thing happens, it just releases poisons inside the body that most people would die from. And after we wheeled him back into the room, this was on a Tuesday, I walked out. He was up on the, we were on the second level out over the emergency wing, and I just walked out, and I just dropped to my knees, and I cried out to God, "Please, Lord, don't take my son." And he spoke to me, and he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, "I want you to pray for me to heal my son." He said to me, "Your son, your children are your gift to me. You gave them to me already." You know, we've all done the dedications, which is the best thing for a pastor to do. But and we gave them to God, and he reminded me of that. He's my son, and your children are your gift to me as my son is my gift to you. Pray for me to heal my son. So in that moment, I, again, in my mind, gave Fred to him, and I prayed, "Lord, please heal your son, Frederick Eric Earhart III, in Jesus' name." I went on for a while. And it was touch and go. Well, that was Tuesday. Friday, he was released from the hospital, miraculously. I mean, even Dr. Brownlee said, I don't get it. And Dr. Brownlee is a believer, but what he said to me is, "I don't get it. This boy has an amazing immune system." Well,
and an amazing prayer team.
He has an amazing God, actually, you know, because God healed him. And Friday we went home, and on the way out the door, we received an $84,000 bill.
And they wanted half. They looked me right in the eye and said, "Ma'am, can you pay half?" I look at my son, who has two outer drains still in, and I look at my 10-year-old van, and I go, "No. Can I use a credit card to put a down payment, and can I keep my son?" She said.
So, anyways, the next morning, Saturday morning, my wife and I, every morning we pray. We have this great spot, and we look out at the Ruby Mountains every morning when we pray together. That's my inner chamber. That's where I go every morning. I get up before her and I have my time with the Lord, and I'm looking out at the beautiful Ruby Mountains. And we were praying that morning, Saturday morning, and the Lord said to me, "Did I not say he was my son? That's not your debt." Now, my wife and I, if I can add, we live debt free. Well, we have. We have lived debt-free. It's different now, but that's another story. But at that time, we were debt-free, and the Lord said, "We're very frugal. You know, our home's paid for. All our cars were paid for." And he said to me that that is my debt. I will take care of it.
This is my favorite part.
Okay.
So anyways, not having any idea, and after being in hospital for 13 days, you're not thinking really at all. So we had a friend from church, and our daughter rallied. But God honored not only our faith, but our faithfulness in and giving and offering and sacrificial giving. And this community rose up like a beast, and they did auctions, they did concerts, they did offerings. Supernaturally, we've always been the givers, the one who takes care of others. And when you can't, that is when you have to completely rely on God. But people were amazing and crazy generous, and it was God moving on their hearts. And of course, Miss Marge the Marvelous was part of it. Dr. Herman was part of it, the man we work for. But this community, I mean, where else can you go where a person who doesn't know you has a friend who goes to a ladies' Spanish-only speaking Bible study and gives you a goat to auction off for your medical bill? The wild, wild west. And it was just that kind of fantasticness. So they did the auction, and of course this is when, beyond giving, beyond what Coop's been talking about, it's a matter of the heart. I watched Dr. Paul, who of course charges like a nickel for all the care that he gave little Fred. But there was some, it was a TV stand and some items that little Fred and his roommate, his best buddy, were going to buy. And they bid everything that they had. And Dr. Paul outbid them. And they were like, ah. So at the end of it, he turns around and gives it to my son and his roommate so they can use these items. Checks would come in the mailbox from people like Sacrificial Giving. A young couple with six kids and their daughter had just been care flighted a few months before Fred made a handmade card and a little check for like $50. I mean, it was supernatural. A cousin that works in Japan. Are you going to go to Japan? You've already been to Japan. Anyways, let me tell you this one part, and then you can have that part. But literally, a check falls out of the mail, and it's a check for $1,572.87. I'm like, what? It's the cousins who work in Japan. They go to a flea market. This one's totally supernatural. And a woman who never speaks to them, though they go to her stand like every week, comes out with this beautiful silk handmade card. Doesn't say a word. Hands it to my cousin. Turns around and walks away. And the cousins had received an unknown, for no known reason, refund from the state of Oregon where they live. So that entire amount is what they wrote the check out for, put it in that beautiful card and mailed it to us. And they're not even believers. Yet.
Yeah, yeah. Something that you skipped over. We've all heard the terrible stories about our hospital here. And, I mean, I've spent many hours in that hospital praying for people. I've heard the horror stories of how people don't get proper treatment. I'm here to tell you, Fred got the best treatment he could possibly get, and I owe that to Paul Herman. He was amazing. He was there beyond his own regular hours, looking over after our son, making sure everybody was doing their job. It was amazing. But Rosalia had been calling every month. Rosalia had been calling every month to ask what the minimum payment is on that, and she would make that payment. And she had called one month. It had been several months later, and the person on the phone said, Mrs. Earhart, you've been taking the collections. She goes, why? I've been calling you every month. I've been making payments. Why would you take me to collections? And she, the person said, well, did you call somebody here and make arrangements to do that? And she said, no. She says, well, that's why. So she asked to speak to somebody in charge. She got this wonderful woman to explain the whole situation. She had asked Rosalie to come see her the next day at 1 o'clock to work this out, and she did. And the woman, first of all, first thing, thanks her. Mrs. Earhart, I want to thank you, because most people, we have to call them continuously to get money from them. They don't take our calls. They don't return our calls. And here you are. And the great thing about that hospital is every call is documented in their computer system. And I check the records, and you call every month faithfully, and you make a payment. Thank you for that. And forgive us for mistreating you from this hospital. Anyway, she sat her down, and she said, I've talked to the board members, and we've made arrangements for you to if you have any money, we'll take it now, and we'll allow you to make $500 a month payments interest-free on the balance.
And? My part. This church factors in when it was Great Adventure Harvest Church. Like that, people would walk up in Rayleigh's and hand him checks. And I dearly love my husband. There's just times he forgets things. So this is a great time to forget. He would take, just stop lying in church. Where was I, Father? Oh, yes, paying bills. So anyways, there was a month we couldn't pay it. I'm doing laundry. He puts on a jacket he hasn't worn since it was cold. And in that pocket is like a four-month-old check for the exact amount from this church that we had to make that monthly payment to keep on track with them. Yes. I love that.
Yeah, there was even another time, because we couldn't afford $500 a month payments, to be honest with you. I mean, financially, we couldn't afford it. But every month, money was coming in, and there'd be checks in the mail. There was a pastor I didn't even know who knew my son from a youth camp, heard about it, and sent us a check to make for two separate checks for $250, which made that $500 a month, that $500 payment one month. And everything was just perfect timing. And I'm telling you, God said, this is my debt. I will take care of it. I'm here to tell you, we were not late on a payment. And this is our first time doing this together. But.
I'm telling him, yes, he wants me to wrap it up. It's a good thing you go to youth group. It really pays off sometimes, because Fred went to a youth group at another church for a while, and a grandson who went with little Fred to that youth group, his grandparents owned businesses, and she walked in, and she's not a believer either, said, I heard you guys were in need, and her grandson just put an envelope on the counter at GNC, and I opened it up in public, and it was for $5,000. Yeah, so God was moving on these people's hearts. Do you have more to add?
We'll wrap it up. Sorry, I didn't know how long this was going to take.
Happens when you say, oh, you got a testimony? Sure, I don't know what it is. I'll let you get up and say whatever you want. Last time that's happened, and I'll tell you that right now. All right, 2 minutes.
Okay.
Minute and a half.
Listen, that payment... I mean, that money, that debt, got paid off in 14 months. And not out of our pocket. We didn't have to pay out of our pocket anything. There was a fundraiser. The first fundraiser that was had, $14,000 was raised in that auction that she talked about where Paul Herman on TV. Yeah, $14,000. But... this is one of those moments of in the end of Acts, and I hope I'm not taking from your sermon.
Oh no,
Acts 4:32 to the end of that chapter. It says that great grace fell on them all, mm-hmm. and they went and sold their possessions. People who were owners of properties, and they laid the money at the feet of the apostles, and no one went without.
Wow, now that's New Testament given right there.
Yes, and this was one of those moments, and I'm so grateful. I guess I'm done here.
Praise the Lord. You're done too.
I'm sorry.
What's really great is you guys didn't tell at all about the fact of you have always operated, and the Lord confirmed it, that it was all God's. And you guys have never seen 10% as a benchmark for giving. You've always extravagantly given way above that.
Yeah. That was the point, that the unspoken point. But I do have to brag about God just really quickly. After it was paid off, you're taking up my time, brother. You are so... Okay. So where was... No. because we wanted to make sure to thank everybody. And there were some businesses we didn't have addresses and everything for. I went ahead and wrote an editorial, because we work at GNC and people are always, you know, banging on Elko and what a cruddy place it is and this and that. And so we got up to testify about how fabulous the community had been. I mean, across the board. And the really cool part that God arranged is they published it, the Christmas edition of 2010.
Wow.
And they published it and everyone was there. But the best part is at the end, a lady writes another editorial and it says, Dear editor of the Elko Daily Free Press, my husband always reads and believes, okay, don't choke on that, everything that you write in the newspaper.
Wow.
So he's a curmudgeon, and my friends and I were talking about Christmas and about Santa, and there is no such thing. And if you print it in the Daily Free Press, he'll believe it. And the editor wrote, see article above. And it was my thank you to the community of Elko and the people of God for what they had done. So even in the free press, God got bragged on, and so did our people.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Okay. Thank you, guys.